Good morning and welcome back to Nachyomi. Today we start Yoel Perek Aleph, the first chapter of Yoel, and by doing this we're actually a quarter of the way through the Sefer because it is only four prakim long. So let's take a look at this. This perek consists of 20 psukim, and we're going to look at it in the prism of two sections. So we have the first section which runs till pasuk Yud Gimel, exclusively to ready Yud Beis. And then Yud Gimel starts the new section. The first section is a description about this immense locust plague, which Yoel Hanavi is describing. And the second, smaller section is describing the response, which is the fast day, the first of the fast days, which he is calling upon the nation of Israel to commemorate. So the first sentence, in fact, is actually just the koteret, it's the introduction to the Sefer itself, which is Devar Hashem Asher Hayah El Yoel ben Pesuel. So this is the words of Hashem, which was to Yoel, the son of Pesuel. Now the actual prophecy starts. So let's take a quick look at the first section, which is the first Pesukim up to Yud Beis. He says, he turns to the Zakenim and he says, Zishimu Zois HaZakenim V'azinu Kol Yoshvei HaOretz. He tells everybody to listen, the leaders and the populace. He HaYotza Zois B'meichem What you're witnessing now, has anybody ever witnessed what you're doing? And he describes this is going to be something that you're going to tell for generation after generation what you're witnessing. What is that? In Pasuk Dalet, he gets to the details. Yeser agazam ochala arber, v'yeser arber ochala yelek, v'yeser yelek ochala echosil. There's four different types of locusts or grasshoppers, and what remains from one, the next one eats. So what remains from the next one eats. It's wave after wave, different species, different colonies, which takes it. And he turns to them and says, Hakitsu shikorim uvechul, wake up, you drunkards, and cry. Heililu kol shayse yayin alasis kinichras mipichem. Look what's been taken out of your mouths. Cry for what's going on. Why? Because Kigoy Allah al Artsi, a nation has gone up to my land, Otsum Vein Mispar, powerful without number, Vishino Shine Aryo Umaslo Oislovi Loi, it's like the teeth of lions is gonna consume the vines, gonna consume all the fruits of it. Eli Kibusulacha Gurasak al Balm Ureha, and like turning them to lament, wearing sackcloth on the husband of her youth to Israel, which is obviously going to be used later on in Kinos as one of the refrains in the Kinah. And at this point in time, he talks about how not only the land been dried, but the farmers have been dried out. And not only have the farmers been dried out, but the house of Hashem itself is empty. And finally, there's no longer joy among human beings at this point in time. So let's consider this first section briefly. First thing to notice is, when did this occur? So this relates a little bit to the introduction, which is when did Sefer Yoel itself occur? But just to paint two extremes here, and which will affect the way we read these psukim, is that Abarbanel quotes the Gemara in Tanis, Daf Hey. The Gemara says that this occurs during a time where we know there was a specific famine. That was done during the times of Yehoram, who was the son of Ahab. Ahab was an evil king. His son was Yehoram. And this is during the spiritual leadership of the prophet Elisha. When we know that famous time where there is this terrible, terrible drought, and we know about the Mitzoraim, the Arba Mitzoraim, and there's this famine inside the city and people on the walls, and the four Mitzoraim come and find the army of Aram, which has been decimated, and they left because of confusion, and the Jews have what to eat. That's during this time. Why wasn't there food to eat? Because of this chasil, because of this locust plague that occurred. The Abarbanel says that all sounds very fine and nice, but again, he thinks that it is not referring to now, not referring to a specific historical, discrete event. It refers to the four malchuyos, the four kingdoms which are to come, which is why there are different descriptions of the grasshoppers, and it's describing how wave after wave of destruction will come to the Jews, almost relentless in the perspective of the millennia, that will in fact consume Israel. These two approaches inform the way we read the rest of the perek, the classical approach, which is that it referred to something which happened in the times of Tanakh, where we can point to a famine which occurred, and the other one, which is Abarbanel, which is actually just a metaphoric perspective of what's going on in the future. So the one problematic pasuk in this section is the second pasuk, which is Hey, have you ever had anything this bad? And the answer is, well, yes. That's if you're actually keeping count. The eighth plague is the plague of Arbe, which becomes the beginning of Parshas Bo. And in the beginning of Parshas Bo, Perigud pasuk Vav, the Torah says that it's going to fill your houses and your slaves' houses and all of Mitzrayim. There never was a plague like this. And there never was. A plague of such nature. So, meaning, that, yes, there was a terrible plague like this. So the Mefarshim, the Ibn Ezra quotes Chazal, and Ibn Ezra says that it means to say that in the times of Egypt, that plague was in fact extremely intense, but it was only one actual type of Arbe. It was only one locust. What we see over here is that we see wave after wave of different species, relentless destruction, which is what the uniqueness of the plague in the times of Yoel. The one pasuk, which of course is a diverging point in this whole section, is pasuk Vav, where it talks about Kigoy Olo Al Artsi. This nation comes upon my soil. What does this refer to? So all the classic Mefarshim, Rashi, Metzuros, Radak, Malbim, all suggest this refers to the locusts themselves. It's a personification. So what does it mean, this nation? It means this nation of locusts. And there are examples elsewhere in Tanakh, where Nemalim, where ants are called, you know, in the form of a goy, as a nation. So it's a personification. Whereas Ababadel says, no, this is clearly a display that this is metaphoric. It's not personification. This is a metaphor for the nation which is going to come and destroy you. And each time they come and destroy you, it'll be like a locust plague where they'll consume everything you have and destroy you from the land. That seems to be the point over here. You'll notice also in the section, the Barbadel points out that this section is climactic, not just emphasizing repetition. And that is that first it starts with the destruction of the land, and then it moves to the destruction of the house of Hashem, which is in Pasuk Tes, Achreis min chov ha-nesach min beis Hashem, of Lukoanim Yishrasei Hashem, which is the fact that it's moving towards the epicenter, which is Yerushalayim. The second section of this perek runs from Yod Gimel to the end, and this is where there's a call to action. So he turns to the Kohanim and he says, Chigru v'siptu ha-Kohanim, he wears sackcloth and eulogize, O priests. Hey, lilu mishorasei mizbeach. You know, this yelala is this crying out in lamentation. Bo linu basakim mishorasei alokai, ki nimna mi beis alokeichem min chavonesa. Because there's nothing to bring in the house of God. Kadshutzom v'kiru atzara. Make a fast day and call a stopping of all cessation of all work. Isu zakenim kol yoshea aretz beis Hashem alekechem v'zakol al Hashem. And call out to Hashem, which is in fact a halacha, that when we have terrible times, we come to the house of Hashem and we fast. They call fasts even today when there's a cessation of rainfall. And this is a halacha which the Rambam paskens based on the Gemara and Tanis. And this relates to specifically what he is doing over here. And at this point in time, he says, "Woe be to that day! Ahor layom ki korov yom Hashem ukeshoid mishakai yavoi." There's a day is coming of Hashem, which there's going to be destruction. Mishakai from Hashem will come, and you'll watch it as the house. There'll be no simcha in the house of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he describes, and even the animals will be crying out and groaning because they have no food. Why? And then because of this terrible plague. And Elecho Hashem Ekra Ki Eish Achlon Na'ois Midbar. I call out to you, Hashem, as the Metzudos points out. This is a personal plea from Yoel himself. He's not just describing, he's trying to intercede when he sees all this destruction. Nonetheless, doesn't seem to be to any avail. Are they supposed to, when you look at the religious viewpoints to think about in this section, in Pasuk Yud Gimel and Yud Dalet, there are two separate calls to action. One in Yud Gimel seems to be this giving up of hope, of mourning, the destruction is already done. And in Pasuk Yud Dalet, fasting and Atzara, which are a call to prayer, which seems to be to alter the plan. So which is it? Is there a possibility of changing things or not changing things? And the Malbim says it may be to refer to the different groups of Kohanim. There are the righteous leaders and there are the not righteous leaders. The not righteous leaders, Hashem is telling them, well, it's time to mourn because it's too late now. When it comes to the religious and righteous leaders, he is saying to them, well, you can call out and you should pray. That's possibly your dalet. Just a way of looking at the different people over here. One interesting comment to note over here is that what is the day of Hashem? So the Abarbanel says it's Tisha B'Av. It's the day which the Meraglim sinned on and we cried for generations. It's going to be the day which is all bad things are going to happen. And in fact, he witnessed that. Ultimately, the expulsion from Spain, which the Abarbanel himself witnessed and was involved with, was in fact on Tisha B'Av. Whereas other Mefarshim say, no, it's referring to the day in which the Arba come. It's more of a, you know, referring to a historical date itself. The Arbaban obviously is tracking this across history as he understands that it's referring to all the Dalet Goliyos, the four stages of exile, the four different exiles that we go from. The one interesting thing that also to notice over here is that at the end of Pasuk Tezvav, when he says, Ukeshoid Mishakai Yavoi, the destruction, Shoid is destruction, will come from Shakai, which is Hashem's name. You'll notice that the word Shoid, which is this looting, this destruction, is similar to the word Shakai, the Shin Dalad Yud, which is Hashem's name. We don't pronounce it, we don't write it, because it's one of the names which cannot be erased. But it seems to be a very similar word. And the interesting thing about that is that the Achidah points out that we see from here that when the Rishonim sort of take away the Yud in Hashem's name, leaving it with Shoid. So instead of the name reading Shin Dalad Yud, it now reads Shin Dalad, which is Shoid, which is destruction. And what my thought on the Chida's comment is that the name Shakai of Hashem is She'omar la'olam odai, that Hashem set certain parameters for the world to operate within. And when the Rishayim mess up the mechanics of this world, what ends up happening is their spiritual actions, their metaphysical actions, cause a altering of the natural cycles or the natural frameworks of this world, yielding a Shoid, yielding a destruction which can come from these episodes. One last thing I'd just like to point out when thinking about this perikon, I know it's a little over time today, but just is in terms of actually a quotation from a description of locust plagues. We perhaps don't have an appreciation of this fully, but a description of locust plagues in July 1874, where there was when one of the great locust plagues swept across the Great Plains. Just a few quotations from that experience to make it more real for us. A description from these children in Kansas at the time. A moving gray-green screen between the sun and earth. The set in Edwards County in Kansas reported, "I never saw such a sight before. This morning, as we looked towards the sun, we could see millions in the air. They looked like snowflakes. In places, the mass of insects blocked out the sun for as long as 6 hours. When the locusts did descend, they covered every shrub, plant, and tree, sometimes breaking limbs with their combined weight. They flattened and devoured corn stalks and reaped fields of grain. They consumed only the most succulent bits of wheat crop, letting the rest rot on the ground. Having ravaged the fields and trees, locusts then invaded the farmers' houses, clearing out barrels, cupboards, and devouring anything not secreted away in wood or metal containers. They even shredded curtains and clothing. At night, farm families had to shake the bedding to dislodge grasshoppers before retiring and considering themselves lucky if another shaking was not needed before morning. The air is literally alive with them," a New York Times correspondent wrote from Kansas. "They beat against the houses, swarm in the windows, cover the passing trains. They work as if sent to destroy," which is actually a pasuk in this perek. "The terrified children fled before the swarms. One Kansas pioneer wrote of a young wife awaiting her first baby in the absence of her husband who had gone insane from fright. A Kansan aldehyde Vitz claimed to have had the clothes literally eaten off her back. I was wearing a dress of white and green stripes," she recalled. "The grasshopper settled on me and ate up every bit of the green stripe in the dress before anything could be done about it." In June 1875, Albert Child, a county judge and sometime meteorologist in Plattsmouth, Nebraska, observed one huge swarm as it passed overhead. By telegraphing for reports from the surrounding towns and timing the rate of the movement of the insects streamed by for 5 days, he estimated the swarm had some 1,800 mile long and 110 mile wide long. Based on this data, he calculated that it covered an astonishing 198,000 square miles. However, the locusts of 1874 by comparison infested an estimated of 2 million square miles. Just to get a sense of it, in real life, this is recordings from only 150 years ago from what the destruction it causes. Try to get a sense of what Yoel is truly saying here. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.